Guys like a good game of Clue? Welcome back, everybody, by the way. 717 here on a Thursday morning. JR, Simmer, and Hammer, if you're just joining us, welcome to the show. Play some Clue ever, Simmer?
No Clue.
Never.
Well, no, at some point, JR, but I'm trying to remember, and all I can... I can't even recall what it was about.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
What?
Hammer?
I'm picturing Trivial Pursuit when I'm trying to think of Clue right now.
Okay. No, you're not thinking of the right thing.
No, exactly.
No.
When this lockdown kind of started back in March and April, my first thought was, we need some board games.
Yep.
So I went hunting for Clue, found it, and we played that for a solid month. Haven't picked it up since.
Maxed out on it?
Yeah, it's such a slow start, but we had a lot of fun at the beginning of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're all winning games.
Who'd you play? Mrs. White?
Mr. Plum. Mr. Peacock?
Professor Plum?
Yeah, I'm a Plum kind of guy.
Mr. Green?
No.
Yeah.
Colonel
Miss
Mustard?
Scarlet? Colonel Mustard?
And we got a... There was two new ones. What's the matter with Miss Scarlet?
Nothing. And it's funny. You say these names, and you automatically have imagery, right? So these names. So Mrs. White... Okay, so these are the names of the pieces. I think there's six pieces. They're all, as our comedian friend there said, they're all associated with colors. So I think when I think of Mrs. White, I think of a chambermaid. When I think of Miss Scarlet, I think of sort of, Michelle Pfeiffer on Fabulous Baker Boys.
Okay, I think of Gone with the Wind.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I think of Sexy.
Okay.
All right, Professor Plum, I think of someone with a reading jacket and probably patches on the elbow.
Clue got rid of Mrs. White. There's no more Mrs. White.
What?
Mrs. White is gone? Gone.
Is this a new version of Clue?
There's a couple of new characters. Dr. Orchid.
Well, I don't like that.
Wow.
That's going new school.
Yes, a little bit.
Okay. So the key to winning Clue, because I'm a Clue veteran.
Yeah.
I'm back in my youth. Okay.
Yeah.
Always, always, always. So essentially the game is you have to guess who is the murderer. Where they did it and what the weapon was.
Okay.
All right. And
okay.
There are a series of things. So you get a series of cards, and if you have those cards, you know it's not those things. But what you do is when you make guesses, okay, as to who the murderer is, where they did it, and what they did it with, always have at least one, if not two, of your own cards. So you're actually fishing other people into thinking when you're making your guesses. It's dastardly, but that's how you win a Clue.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a veteran, savvy veteran move by a savvy veteran Clue player.
My oldest learned that from me pretty early on, so he kind of glommed onto that strategy a little bit.
All
so
right.
He was fooling around with everybody.
What are you gonna do now? A little risk. Hey, talking about quick games. Nice 4-day game of Risk.
Chance.
No, not a risk chance.
No, we've got, actually, we're all playing Among Us. We can play.
What?
It's a mobile game where all you need is a phone. You're on a spaceship with these weird little characters, and somebody on the spaceship is an imposter, and you go around killing people. Killing the other people that are inside the game.
You're killing your family?
Yes, exactly. And you've got to stop down. If you find a body, you stop down, you discuss it, and you try to figure out who it is, and then you try to vote them out.
Is there a winner or a loser? And a loser?
Oh, there's a winner. There's winners and losers.
Right.
I only play games with winners and losers.
That's how you teach your kids the right way.
There's no ties here.
Okay.
There's no ties.
There's no sister
kissing.
So
then you debate who it is, and of course, the dead giveaway is if you start yelling and screaming, well, I automatically know. Now I know you're the imposter.
So
pretty cool game.
So that's an app? You play that on an app?
Exactly.
Among Us?
Among Us.
Never even heard of it.
Your kids have got to know it.
I'm surprised there aren't more of those. We've done one of the ones.
I told you about the little trivia thing.
Well,
right? What was that one they played at the 67s game?
Well,
we were doing that for a while.
Is it Kahoot? Yeah.
Kahoot.
No, we've done that at home a few times. No, that, and for a group. And hey, boys now, Mirror Boys are 10 and 12, or 12 and 10. They have phones. So it's like, hey, I'm surprised there aren't more things there. Because I think for most people, the board game thing, once in a while. But as I said, we tried the darn Monopoly and descended in
the
arguments.
Oldest boy cheats.
Well,
he's the banker.
Exactly.
Always,
and now it's a bank machine. You got a credit card. You got to be going back and forth. And all of a sudden, money's missing. We've got to do an audit. Could be jail time. Then he's looking for a presidential pardon.
So it mimics real life, really.
Exactly.
Easy to get these days.
Okay. All good. All right. Welcome back, everybody. We'll talk to Pierre McGuire coming up just after 8 o'clock. And then we're going to get caught up with Emma Miskew. She is a part of Team Holman, of course. We've got some curling news this week. They've announced that they're going to try with the curling, with the Brier and the Scotties, and the men's worlds are all going to be held in a bubble out in Calgary next year. They're going to try as best they can to salvage some semblance of a curling season. Of course, Emma, part of Team Holman that has won Canadian championships, Scotties, and have won world championships as well, been to an Olympics. what's life like when you're used to being on the road for 6 months a year curling when you're not, because there hasn't been much of anything to speak of as far as curling goes. So we're going to talk to Emma Miskew coming up after 9 o'clock this morning on that. We'll get into some of the hockey stuff. We talked about North Dakota's first game yesterday and, of course, his Four Sens prospects. And a good start for Shane Pinto. Looked good yesterday. Yeah. Tyler Cleven had a good first shift in which he laid out some people. And Jake Sanderson, Simmer, has already dubbed a bust because he didn't do much of anything yesterday. So there you go.
No, and that's where we're at the point. I just said, you know what, there's not enough to go off of. And again, I've watched that hockey, JR. Very seldomly does an 18-year-old play at that level, let alone having not played. And again, setting up these crazy expectations. Any scouting reports? I'm going to start doing mine Christmas Day. And, of course, the United States plays Christmas Day. So it's not going to be Lakers-Clippers, unfortunately. I'll watch a little Team USA, and that's when I'll start breaking her down, send out my scouting report.
Okay, there we go. World Juniors is where it's
at. 3 weeks from Friday.
Yeah, not that you're counting or whatsoever.
Nope.
All right, so as far as the NHL is concerned, well, Gary Bettman spoke yesterday to, what was it, the Sports Business Journal's, quote, Deal Makers in Sports Conference.
Yeah.
So it's a virtual thing, and, of course, we have not heard very much from the Tiny Perfect Commissioner as we're kind of sitting in the middle of negotiations that may or may not be happening. One thing that we found out from Gary Bettman, do not call this what he's looking for in terms of a give back from the players as a renegotiation. That's not what's going on.
So we're not actually having negotiations, and we're not seeking to renegotiate. We made a number of assumptions collectively over the summer. Under our deal, and the one we've had for more than a decade with the Players Association, whatever the revenues are, the players only get 50%. And if we overpay them and they don't pay us back in the short term, they have to pay us back over time. And if the players owe us more money than anybody imagined, the salary cap could well be flat or close to flat for the next 5 or 6 years. And players into the future will be repaying what we're owed.
All right. So if you're a National Hockey League player, okay, that is what's known as message sending by the commissioner.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
What we're not doing here is we're not renegotiating.
No.
But let me tell you, if you don't do what we're asking and give us some of our money back in the short term, you're going to have to pay it back in the long term in terms of a flat salary cap for up to 6 years. So it's your choice at the end of the day, but it's not a renegotiation.
Yeah, and very strange because I talked about yesterday the cap on the escrow, JR, but hey, if you're a guy that is going to play for another 1, 2, 3 years, leave it as is, finish it off, and by the time you're in the beach in years 4, 5, and 6 not playing,
somebody else is paying.
Exactly. And so the system itself and how this is done, yeah, I would say complicated, tricky, and again, this is also the difficulty you always face as a Players Association. And I'll say this with any union, JR, like, my gosh, like, if we'll go at, what, 20 players easily, so 600, you know, 650 players, man, what is good for a certain segment of that versus guys starting out in their career, middle of their career, end of the career, everybody would look at this completely different, not to mention where the hell their contracts are right now.
And that is why it's so hard, all these professional leagues, to to get a strong union and to hold it together. The baseball's union has been the strongest over the years,
sure,
probably to the detriment of the sport. But there's a lot of money in that sport. You look at the NFL, right? They have never, ever, ever been able to really put together a players association that's got any balls whatsoever, right?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, the owners have a salary cap. They have non-guaranteed contracts. And what's the reason for that?
Yeah.
The reason for that is that football players very much look at things in the short term. Their careers are so short.
Yeah.
It's like, I got to take what I can get.
Yeah,
and
totally.
So you're never going to get consensus as far as any kind of union or players association within football in particular.
No, and hey, exactly. If it's a shelf life average 3 to 4 years, JR, I'm not going to take the hit of a year for the guy down the road. Now, on the football side, you've certainly seen increases in the guaranteed money, but that's for a select few, right? Mostly the skilled positions, especially the quarterback. What I do find surprising about the NFL system, though, JR, and this is what the NHL got rid of, I'm surprised that they still pay so much to guys coming into the league, right? Like, that would be my only gripe with
the
players.
A lot less than it used to be.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like,
okay.
Sam Bradford was the last guy. When he was taken first overall by the Rams back in the day, back then you could, as a draft pick, you could negotiate whatever contract you wanted.
Yeah.
And I think he got $50 million guaranteed without having played it down.
Yeah.
Well, it was after that where they went, you know what? That's where the veteran players kind of went to the Players Association and go, the rookies are getting, oh, a guy God, who's yeah. not played a down yeah. in the league is getting way too big of a piece
no,
of the
pie. No, and, you know, if I'm a football player, whatever position, you look at a guy like Mitch Trubisky and you say to yourself, how much dough is this guy? Even looking at the Burrow contract, JR, to me, it still seems awfully high in comparison to, again,
well, you're looking at a league with a $200 million salary
yeah,
cap.
Yeah, no, for sure. But if I'm a veteran player, hey, you know what? You come in for your first 3 years, give you a decent salary, but I don't need any of it to be necessarily guaranteed. Where that still is a piece of the pie that should be going to somebody else.
Yeah. Well, there are lots of we could spend an entire show trying to go through the NFL and the issues with its union and yeah, the way that they sure. structure contracts, yeah. Et cetera. But on the hockey, do you get what I get from Gary Bettman there, which is some not so subtle message sending as far as
no, for sure. You know, you're walking the walk again, right? I mean, this is all really just feeling no different than a lockout. I mean, they're going to take this right to the edge. What we haven't really figured out, and I'm just going to go on February 1st, JR, we get into the whole drop dead date. What is different now to mobilize, bring people in for quarantine for 2 weeks? If the Ottawa Center is going to have an extended training camp, which I thought would have been a month, well, they need to have people here by mid-December. So it's once again the same game. It's just a question of scaring the players enough to imagine the hole that you'll be in as an industry and certainly as a player. Okay, if I don't play at all, I mean, I mean, in some ways, would you say, well, maybe I'm better off if I don't play for certain players because, you know what, maybe the business resets next fall and we have fans in where this year, who knows what the hell? Well, the losses are going to be, well, there won't be a team that'll be, I can't see any circumstance that anybody can make a dollar.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. So one of the cards that the NHL feels it can play is this so-called force majeure, right, which is a clause within the CBA, and all sports have this, if something happens that is beyond the control of anything, in this case, the pandemic, they have the right to essentially close their business down.
Yeah.
And so the feeling is that the NHL, if they wanted to go to that extent, that they could do it.
There
are some, though, that look at it and go, well, hang on. You negotiated the last CBA back in the summer and the extension of it and the subsequent return for the playoffs and all of that with the players. Well, that happened in the middle of the pandemic as well.
Yeah.
So how can you turn around now 6 months later and under the same circumstances, the pandemic is still going on.
Yeah.
When you freely negotiated a contract 6 months ago, turn around six months later and say, oh, by the way, our business, we got to shut our business down because we're facing these unprecedented times.
Well,
like some would say, well, you know, the Players Association go to court on that one and say, sorry, that ain't working. You can't say when the circumstances are relatively the same. You can't say things were fine, let's negotiate a contract 6 months ago, and then 6 months later say we got to shut our business down.
Yeah, or even more so, in one hand saying, hey, we're ready to put a season on, and then the other hand, if you don't give me more cash back, I'm not going to have a season. Do you know what I mean? And I guess that's part of the measure that you'd say, hey, this is affecting it, but that to me really is a contradiction from the league itself. I would think, based on the virus and what we saw last spring, was, hey, there are no circumstances right now that we can play. That makes sense. Now, right now, you're just basically talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, we asked you yesterday in our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question, who do you blame for where things are at right now as far as hockey goes? Do you blame Bettman and the owners? Do you blame the PA? It came in exactly 50-50. So that's the way people are feeling about this right now.
Yeah. And also, after watching Gary yesterday, Roger Goodell and the football broadcast, I was able to order a half dozen zip-up polos because I also realized that everybody's wearing them.
Including coaches?
Everybody appeared to have on, you know, from the commissioners. The Bettman likes that look, right? The dress shirt underneath, and Roger kind of likes the same feel, right? Dress shirt underneath, and then just the pullover with the half zip up.
Now, I did not see, obviously, we heard Gary Bettman's comments there, and this was a virtual conference that he was a part of. Did he do the conference in the backyard with the brand new hockey net in the background still
has it been used at all? Appeared to be in the office. Very subtle kind of background. He had on just what I kind of described. He did have, you know, which would be typical of if he's basically saying, listen, this is what I want you to say and do never contradict me. He had a little bit of that head waddle going. That's the mode he gets
the
into,
head,
right?
The Bettman head waddle means that I'm not telling the truth.
Well, or just listen.
He does that all the time.
You are a complete idiot. And please don't contradict what I'm saying, because he kind of tilts his head and speaks with his left eye.
Yeah. The Bettman bobble. That's what we call that. When the head starts to bobble a little bit, you know, and the more it bobbles, the more he's stretching the truth.
Or he's nervous about handing out the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. I don't know where he is, because the wall behind him is completely bare.
Yeah.
It's just white. Yeah. He's in a nice leather chair by the looks of things.
Maybe at the big golf club that he's a member of.
He could be absolutely anywhere right now. But where's the flair? Let's have a little bit of – let's have a jersey up on the wall or something like that.
Have a jersey up on the wall, that would mean he would actually have to like hockey. Yeah. So.
It can just be a generic NHL jersey.
No, but he's also Hammer trying to pretend that he's in financial dire straits to the players,
that's
right?
That's it.
You don't want to showcase
Take
your...
the artwork down. Get that Picasso off the wall.
Yeah. He's at a Motel 5. That's where he's staying here.
He's in that hotel in New Haven I told you guys about.
Oh, the one
right
with
off the highway.
The one with all the blood in the carpet. Not good. Anyway, we'll keep our eye on that. Who knows how it's all going to work itself out. And listen, if you're like the rest of us, you a good listener, you're sick about it. You've been sick about hearing it for 20 years. Every time we have some sort of issue, here we go, two sides arguing, you know, where there's all kinds of money at stake, two sides arguing about how much each side is going to get. Just get it solved. I just want my hockey back.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll keep our eye on it for you, but nothing. At least they are after a 2-week apparent stalemate, where the NHL put out the first kind of ask of, hey, we need another $300 million in givebacks, and the PA just went silent for 2 weeks. They are talking again at this point, apparently for the last 3 or 4 days. Or not that it's a negotiation, but at least chatting back and forth. Whether it leads to something, that remains to be seen. All right, we'll take a break. 7:33. When we come back, we'll get into the football story. We had a game yesterday afternoon, crazily enough, and it was almost like players aren't used to playing on Wednesday afternoons, because it was a pretty ugly affair between the Steelers and the Ravens. So we'll chat about that. We'll look to the week ahead, and we'll get into much more, including that NBA deal last night between the Rockets and the Wizards. What it all means. I can tell you one thing. The Houston Rockets and asset management, when you think about what they gave up to get Russell Westbrook in the first place, and then a year later they trade him, what they bring in, what else they gave up, that's not good asset management. So we'll get into all of that. And as we mentioned, Pierre McGuire will join us after 8 as we soldier on here through a Thursday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio, TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
We're back, 7:41. JR Simmer and Hammer, quick text to 1200. It's pretty simple as far as the players in the NHL goes. If the players feel that strong, don't play. Make zero. Fans don't care. Been through this crap before. Just keep driving them away. That comes from Unsigned. Yeah, I guess if there's a... At the end of the day, at the end of the day, you know, who the fans side with, does it really matter?
Yeah.
I mean, the players get played to play games, right? So if this ends up being a stalemate, and if hockey doesn't end up being played at all for the coming year because they can't find a way to divvy up the money, does it really matter who wins the public relations war at that point? I don't know.
I don't know. I respect anybody. If you're turned off by professional sports, you stop going after labor disputes or whatever reasons, JR. History tells us that's actually not the case. The industry has continued to grow under Gary Bettman to almost a $5 billion industry. But I know nobody wants to, especially when the baseball last spring and now with the hockey, nobody wants to talk about it. The only difference here, they have a partnership right now. They have something in place. And I'm not siding with the management of the league, JR, but it is just a realization of how this is going to work. Either take it now or take it later. You know, and that, to me, that's nothing illegal or nothing necessarily bad from the league side. It's just reality. And this is my take on it, is that when you hit the players over the head with this first initial ask, this is what you do. You go away for a couple of weeks. You let them educate themselves and discuss it and figure out, hey, how do you want to handle this? Because at some point here, you're going to end up paying up.
Let's see here. On board games, Deception, Murder in Hong Kong, much better than Clue.
Okay.
Don't know that one.
Never heard of it.
If you're looking for a couple of new games, which I have played at various cottage outings with extended family, we go for a week or whatever, Settlers of Catan. That one's been around for a while. Yep. That's very, very, very popular.
Yeah.
That can get lengthy too, can it not?
There's another one the last time around when we got together, which was 2 or 3 years ago, called Secret Hitler, which sounds like a very unique name.
Yeah.
Pretty good game.
Okay.
Pretty good game, Secret Hitler, as well.
And so, when you guys do the Super Bowl party every year, you guys get a little twister going, or what do you cook? What are you cooking with the boys up there?
That's post-game, post-Super Bowl.
what sort of random thought is going on?
I don't know, because I start thinking of adult games.
Simmer's never invited. He's a little perturbed. If I get together with the fellas for a Super Bowl party, what do you guys play post-game Twister?
What, do you guys get the cards going up there, JR?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. That, and I'm not a poker. I don't like that either. A little blackjack if you get her going, a little euchre action. I just, when you're talking about the board games, I guess it just feels like so long ago that I ever, you know, even when my boys were young, suddenly the video games were all the rage. And anything we did, even from playing Madden together, just always seemed to be other than a simple card game.
Yeah.
And I've done the board thing since I was basically a kid, I guess is my point.
Yeah. The trouble with kind of video games, et cetera, is that for the most part, they're kind of either one or two person games.
For sure. Right? For sure.
So you can't, if you got 5 or 6 or 8 people to want to play something, it's kind of like, well, I got to wait your turn. Well, that doesn't go.
I'm surprised that part hasn't come along, because we always say that every Christmas, like, hey, let's find something all four of us can end up playing, have a little fun with it.
Maybe Mario Kart.
Loved it.
And everybody's got the wireless controls now, right? So it's not a question of being able to do it or having enough to plug in and come up with some games. And now what is different, guys? First of all, I couldn't imagine really playing video by myself that often. We all grew up playing competition, but now your ability to be online and play with other people, now, hey, you've entered a world where you don't need your brother around or your sister or your parents or anybody, eh?
Lock yourself
in your room and get at her.
They are online. They've got a party going on. So they got all their
party
friends
going on right here?
In a little group. No. They've got about 10 to 11 lads that are just chatting. They're all playing
games. And with the headsets on hammered, the amount of F-bombs that start coming around, like it, and they don't you don't realize how loud you are either, right?
Okay. And they don't realize that the younger brother is just down the hall as well.
No.
So when the younger brother hits you with a little JC walking up the stairs because he's upset at you, exactly where that came from.
That's how you learn.
What I've also realized the trend is with a 12-year-old, and the F-bombs have been coming the last couple of years in the video games, much like telling the dog to stop barking, which is in year 4, that the dog has not made any adjustments. there's a realization here, like, that the dog is charging to the balcony to bark, and nothing's changing no matter what we do. So,
my oldest, who has now graduated university and has a contract job, so has her own money, but still lives at home, walked in last night after being on a waiting list for a long period of time with a PS5. The much coveted PS5.
Oh, nice.
So
she's pretty excited
about that,
that
is the younger sister.
She got one?
Yeah, she's been on a waiting list. I don't know how long, but finally came in. She got the Spider-Man game, apparently.
Okay. Good for Miles Morales. Good for her.
And I'll say this because I have two boys. Mira has two boys. It's funny. I don't really ever think of or hear or talk about girls playing or women playing video games. Do you know what I mean?
Massive now. Huge.
Well, but do you know what I mean? Like, any of the perception, though, I'm just saying, like, any of the online gamers hammer.
The stereotype.
Yeah. So what would they play normally, Jer? Like, are they into sports games as well, or is
my youngest plays the NHL. We're always 1 year late with the games. She'd be playing NHL 19 right now.
Well, you go to Walmart, it's $9.99. Like,
why bother? Still on the Sens.
Why bother?
This game sucks.
Hey? Oh, if you did that based on the Sens, you'd be in some serious trouble.
No, for the most part, they're into whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I don't really pay attention to it, but.
They watch these streamers, and there's boys, there's girls, all sorts of streamers. Then they're playing the exact same stuff.
Hammer, has the Fortnite ship sailed at your place? Because all Zach's playing now is Madden and a couple of other games.
Absolutely not. Fortnite just went through another big, I don't know what they call it, upgrade, update. So now
don't call it a renegotiation. It's a relaunch.
No, exactly.
Maybe that's what the Batman is doing.
An evolution of the game. They're all back playing that. They're playing COD. They're playing Grand Theft Auto. They're playing everything.
All right. Speaking of Madden, we had actual football yesterday, not video game football. And actual video game football is actually more popular for some people than the actual football. And based on what we saw yesterday, maybe properly so, because that was not a very good football game yesterday between the Steelers and the Ravens.
Roethlisberger stays in the shotgun on first and goal. Wide side to his right. He wants to throw it to his right. He does. Touchdown, Juju Smith-Schuster. What a nice throw by Ben to put it right on the money. And for Juju, his sixth of the year, the Steeler offense finally smells the chalk.
There you go. There was the go-ahead touchdown and what would eventually be a 19-14, not very good victory, but keeps the Steelers' unbeaten win over the Baltimore Ravens. By the way, Juju Smith-Schuster, I believe, UFA, unrestricted free agent at the end of this year, probably going to be moving on from the Steelers, because they just, what they do is they just, in the second round every year, they just pick a new receiver. He turns out to be great, Chase Claypool being the latest one. And so the guy gets comes out of his rookie contract, like Juju is, and he just moves along, gets paid big money by somebody else, and the Steelers just say, next man up, because they have the Midas touch, man, when it comes to picking receivers.
Yeah, no, absolutely incredible what they're able to do. And boy, did he have a gutsy game, because you're right, the rest of the crew there, I guess out of rhythm, and this is for athletes, and for the Steelers that already lost their bye week, JR, you kind of look at it and say that, but it was interesting to see just how many simple drop balls. But we'll say to the most important play of the game, that one that he kind of lobbed up, was it to Washington? That was in not double, not triple, quadruple coverage.
I think it was Deontay Johnson, wasn't it?
I thought it was Washington. But anyways, whatever it was.
Might have been Washington.
Right in the middle of the field, though.
Yes.
First of all, that should have been an interception. His ability to secure that ball and hold on to the darn thing, when it mattered, they were able to get the catches.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, there were five drops, I think, altogether by Steeler receivers. Somebody texted in this morning, and I was kind of in and out of the game. It was such a bad game that said that Chase Claypool actually got benched at the end of the game. I don't know if that's true or not. I did see early in the game where he did have a drop, but there was not a well-executed game plan or game from the Steelers, but they did enough to win. Big injury, though. Bud Dupree looks like a torn ACL. He's one of their key rush ends. 8 sacks this year. And it was one of those ones where he's coming around the edge, and the left tackle just gives him a push. Yeah. And it's just when he's kind of planting to kind of try to get around the corner, get around the tackle, and it's just, I don't want to call it a non-contact injury, but it wasn't like somebody fell on him. It was just, and here's the thing, where he's playing on the franchise tag this year, which means he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of this year, and he would be playing in the hopes of signing a long-term deal with somebody.
Yeah,
well, you're
sure.
looking at right now what they suspect is a torn ACL, which can mean as much as a year that you're done, certainly, and we're into the month of December now. So, you know, even if the next football season begins on time and everything is back to quote unquote normal with the NFL next year, you're looking at a guy like 6 months from now, when free agency starts in March, when a guy is 3 months into what could be a year-long recovery, is he going to get the kind of money that he would have suspected? Like that injury yesterday for a guy like him is potentially worth millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, and you felt bad for him, JR, and that was when you see with certain injuries, because I kind of looked at it and thought, oh, no big deal. You know, as an athlete, you know, as a human being.
He knew right away.
Exactly.
He reaches down, he starts pounding his fist, and it's like he knows exactly what's happening.
And think to, is it 4 or 5 years ago? You talked on the Carolina team. Think where Von Miller's engine was at and where he's at now. For these edge rushers, just like a running back, anybody else, to come off of that edge, you lose even anything. All of a sudden, what are you doing? I guess you're playing in the interior. Like, you just really look at that and think, God, why couldn't this have happened a year from now after I got paid?
And if you're ever wondering, specifically, especially with football players, why they're trying to make as much money as they can, as quickly as they can, it's exactly circumstances right? Because, man, you are one play away from having your season end. And in some cases, you see guys never recover.
Oh, for sure.
You know, they may get another contract, may not be for as much money, and they're not the same player, and you don't have a guaranteed contract. So, we signed him to a fairly decent contract. He doesn't have it anymore. Cut him. Season over. Season over. Yeah. Career over. See you later.
Yeah.
Next man up.
Yeah, and I'll say for the Steelers, it is interesting, as you say, the approach. For an athlete, not that you don't buy in, not that you're not proud to play for the Steelers, but also as you walk out the door as an unrestricted free agent, not based on injury, but in the case of Juju Smith-Schuster, when you end up looking at this, you say, hey, I understand the philosophy here, you know what I mean? Where a lot of times it turns into a big squabble and why not holding on to the player? Hey, you recognize you come into a good situation, play and be a good pro, be a good player, and you'll get paid. It just probably won't be in Pittsburgh.
Steelers for the first time since the 2015 Carolina Panthers to start the season with 11 straight wins. That was the Panther team in which Cam Newton ended up winning the MVP. They went to the Super Bowl, of course, lost to Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. But You're of the opinion that they should lose a game. They didn't play very well yesterday. They could have, you know, if Baltimore had all of their players, they could have easily won that game yesterday. Yeah. But it's one of those things where, you know what, we need a loss. We, you know, being unbeaten is really not that. It's because the football gods, the sports gods will always conspire against you at some point.
For sure.
Where everything will go wrong on a given night. And if you get all of your good luck throughout the season, the one thing you don't want is to have all of the bad luck in one game happen in a playoff game, and boom, you're out on your ear.
No, and just for, again, Patriots, everybody hated them, but by the time it got to the Super Bowl, I think it revved up the Giants a little bit. Certainly in their pass rush, it felt like it, but that would have been yesterday if you're Tomlin and kind of the way this has been going recently where you're getting a little bit lucky. Any sports air, you would have almost preferred to lose yesterday. You got the Ravens coming in. They got no players. They don't have a quarterback. You end up dropping a game like that. Now you got a bit of a teaching lesson. You got a bit of a reset where, hey, he was certainly fired up after the game, but at the end of the day, they still end up finding a way to win.
Guys, does Mike Tomlin not get the respect and props he deserves as a top-tier coach in the NFL? That comes from Zeker. Yeah, you know what? And it may be one of those things where Mike Tomlin has been around for so long, right? Yeah, I think he's the longest, other than Belichick, right? The longest tenured coach. He's been around since, what, 06 or 07, I want to say?
Well, they said last night, I think he's in year 14 and Harbaugh's in year 13 with the same team. So, right.
So, but it's one of those things where when a guy has been around so long and been as, you know, successful as Mike Tomlin has, you just sort of forget about them, right? People don't talk about Bill Belichick, you know, as much, right? It's always, who is the flavor of the day?
Yeah.
Who's the new guy that's come onto a team that was kind of crappy and now they're a little bit better. Oh, he wins coach of the year. Like the guys who do it year after year after year, they never get the accolades. They just keep their team in contention every single year.
Yeah, a couple of years ago it was the Rams coach, right? And the one that the announcers always give a ton of love to is Shanahan with the 49ers. I always feel like, wow, they're really chatting this guy up. And as far as Tomlin, I guess it's that. As far as Big Ben's won two Super Bowls, were both of them under Tomlin or was one with Cowher Cowher retired?
Yeah, one would have been, so one of them I think was like 05, right?
Yeah, right when he came rookie, out, right? Came out of Miami of Ohio.
So that would have still been Bill Cowher because I think he retired shortly thereafter.
Yeah, and I think that's also the case, right? And same as what Bill Cowher went, and for a franchise that's been around for, what, 50 years, JR, to only have three coaches. I love that. Like, I really love that college mentality, or even here with Brian Kilray. You know, all of a sudden things go south that you're not booted out the door. Hey, this is what we've got. We got a great program here. And same thing with Baltimore. I mean, Harbaugh has quietly, you know, went along and won a couple of Super Bowls and done a hell of a job there.
But that's also a testament to, patience from ownership. But it's also a testament to having a great general managers, great scouts.
Yeah. Oh,
right? You're a competitive team every year because they're giving you good players to coach.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt here. And I'll say this in every sport, but even more in football. I mean, you look at the situation with Nagy in Chicago. It doesn't matter how good of a coach he is. You don't have a quarterback. You don't have the right group around you. And also, too, and this is where you have the turnover in the National Football League. If you have a good drafting team, and I think back here, I was part of drafting Alexander Ovechkin in 2004 throughout a season. That group and that ability to ride that athlete, we see that with Pittsburgh. You can ride it in hockey and football, man. You got to really be making sure on every single year, next man up here. It's either going to be injury, retirement, or the squeeze of the salary cap, and who's going to be filling that void, and certainly the good teams that do a good job at it.
7:56, pretty massive trade in the NBA last night involving two unhappy superstars. Who knew in basketball, unhappy superstars? I want to be traded. Well, they did it last night. Houston Rockets sent Russell Westbrook to the Washington Wizards in exchange for John Wall. Russell Westbrook, a guy the Rockets just traded for last year with Oklahoma City, in which they gave up Chris Paul, who you could argue is probably a better fit to play with James Harden than Russell Westbrook, because Russell Westbrook needs the ball all the time, as does James Harden. But anyway, they made the trade. They gave up Chris Paul plus two first-round draft picks, plus the right to swap first-round draft picks in two of the other seasons for Russell Westbrook. He lasts 1 year. Then he says, you know what? I don't like it here anymore. Trade me. So he gets traded to Washington for John Wall, who, by the way, hasn't played basketball in 2 years. Underwent heel surgery in December of 2018. While he was recovering from the heel surgery, had a, quote, slip and fall accident at home in which he ruptured his Achilles. And, by the way, earlier in his career has had surgery on both of his knees.
Yeah.
Now, he's 2 years younger than Russell Westbrook, but we're talking about I hesitate to use the term broken down, but he hasn't played basketball in 2 years.
Yeah.
He's got, if he exercises his player option, $130 million that's due him over the next 3 years is John Wall. By the way, Russell Westbrook, same money.
Yeah.
So it's just a kind of, hey, can I exchange my unhappy star for your unhappy star?
Yeah.
But for Houston, I mean, my goodness. Look at what they gave up. And they, by the way, they gave up a lottery-protected first-rounder as well to make the trade. Like, that is some of the worst asset management I have seen in any sport in the last decade, what Houston has done.
And on the case of Waldo, JR, you could argue that he's fresh and under repair. He's basically like the Bionic Man.
He's been on the hoist.
This guy's going to jump right over the basket. He's going to be so good. And for Houston, I mean, let's be honest here. It was the Houston general manager, first of all, that has now been fired, that made the initial trade. He's also the one that ruined the league with that darn text against China, right? I guess this is par for the course for Houston sports, right? When you look at, honestly, look at the gong show between their baseball team, their basketball team, their football team. Bad trades are obviously, well, Houston isn't, Astros not, but as far as just being a bad organization. But look at the football team as well. Yep. Like how poorly run both of these franchises have been.
The Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski, is reporting this morning that Anthony Davis is close to finalizing a max deal with the Lakers, 5 years, $190 million. And of course, LeBron James just signed a 2-year extension yesterday for $85 million. Like these numbers are so like.
What did you think of LeBron's contract?
Off the charts. Well, it's the max money he can make. So
yeah, I thought, and again, I know he.
What do you think he should have been longer?
No, I thought he would have taken less money at this point. The guy's a billionaire. I know you. Hey,
less money to do what?
It's an ego thing, just so they could support the team a little bit better. He is 35.
They just keep signing guys.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. But and then they got not lucky with it last year. But hey, AD's the key. As long as you got your duo.
Yeah. What's interesting with LeBron James contract? So he's got a year left. He signed a 2-year extension. So he's basically locked into the Lakers for the next three seasons. It's expected if he's injury-free and scores at somewhat the same rate, he will become the leading scorer in NBA history coming up in that final season of his contract.
Okay.
Then his contract is up. Well, that is the same year that his son, Bronny, is supposed to graduate from high school. And he's very highly thought of. And if at that point they have gotten rid of the one and done where you have to go to college or not play in the NBA out of high school, they're talking about getting rid of that and going back to the old way, where it's so that Bronny could be drafted into the NBA. At that point, LeBron is a free agent. He can go play with his son for maybe a final year in the NBA with whatever other whatever team ends up drafting LeBron. Bronny James.
Nothing more exciting than being an 18-year-old millionaire on the road and hanging out with your dad. I think I'll take
that'd be pretty cool.
Oh, it is for sure. That idea, and I think the only combination in hockey other than the Howes is Guy Carboneau playing with his son-in-law back in the day. Was it Brendan Morrow? I think they ended up marrying his daughter. For that, JR, with LeBron, is Kareem still hold the record for the high score in the NBA history, or has somebody broken it?
I want to say yes.
Okay. No, I'm just trying to think of all these records and always the talk about the GOAT. I guess you break the record of another former Laker at the same time.
There we go. All right, a little past 8 o'clock. We'll take a break, get you the latest news from 580 CFRA, run down the scoreboard, Steelers win. And so does North Dakota with a nice contribution from Shane Pinto. We'll come back and talk hockey with Pierre McGuire. He will join us next right here on TSN 1200.